Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, September 25th, 2015. It is iPhone 6S and 6S Plus launch day. And with me, Kelly Gaumont. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And John Martellaro, I hope you're well too.
I'm well. I'm very excited.
This is like Christmas for
nerds.
Yeah, for nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're actually all right now waiting for our phones to be delivered.
Let's call it nerd mass, kind of a play on words, religious overtones, and Christmas.
I've always called it phone mist.
Now, John,
it's always been phone mist.
The really, really cute part was where you felt that you needed to explain that.
Well, it had several elements to it.
Well, we used to have, in the old days, remember, we had Steve Miss.
We did.
His Steve-ness?
No, Steve Miss. You know, it was the day of the note. Yeah, the day we actually get the one more thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Good times. Okay, so we have the new iPhones showing up in people's hands even as we speak. People have been lined up overnight, well, actually for days in some places to get their iPhones.
So not here.
Yeah, not.
There was even a woman who put her iPad on a Segway, rolled it into a store. Yeah, in Australia.
Yeah, the Brisbane Apple Store. A woman put her iPad onto her. Was it really a Segway or was it one of those little avatar robot things?
It's a telepresence bot. Yeah.
Yeah. And put that in line. So it was number 4 in line at the Brisbane Apple Store, and people seemed okay with that.
What I want to know is, how does the robot carry the iPhone home without getting mugged?
That's a really good question.
Maybe it's just keeping her place until she can actually show up. That was my presumption.
Her plan was to send the robot into the store and have it complete the entire transaction.
Oh, wow.
So what that tells me is that works. Either someone was going to be waiting outside after the transaction completed, or people in Brisbane are really nice.
Mm. Yeah, I'd like to think it's that people in Brisbane are really nice. I think in real life she probably works at the food court at the other end of the mall, and so it's not too hard to get there.
I like the idea of saying people in Brisbane are really nice.
I guess she has to hold her credit card up to the iPad camera.
Well, maybe it's paid for and it's just a pickup appointment.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, I looked at iFixit's teardown of the new iPhone. Mm-hmm. Have either of you had a chance to look at that yet?
No, sorry.
No, because I've been still blown away by their Apple TV teardown.
That was pretty impressive.
Well, here's why. Let me see if I can find the actual thing that made me go, holy cow. It was that there's very little power cable inside the unit. And they think that the power is being transferred through the screw posts.
That's crazy.
How bananas is that?
Amazing.
I couldn't even read the rest of the, now I have to pull it up to make sure that's exactly what it said, but that was the thing that I couldn't read anything more after that, because I couldn't believe that that's what they were actually telling me. Seriously? That's how, whoa. So yeah, it blew my mind.
So it has that underwriter's seal of approval.
Still, that's a pretty clever thing.
I mean, and that to me is the thing, and this is one of the things that I say a lot, it seems like to me I say a lot, about stuff from Apple, is that sort of innovation is stuff that happens commonly in Apple devices. Remember, I think it's the new MacBook has the battery that comes in slices so that they could jam extra battery capacity up in the front, even though it's not a rectangular space. That's the kind of stuff that to me is what makes Apple an important company, because they are driving that sort of innovation forward. No one's ever going to see that battery, but the fact that they can jam that much more battery in there is causing other companies to think about how they do it too, and innovating across the entire technological space. And I think that's fascinating.
Eventually, you won't be able to find the battery. I remember it was either an Outer Limits or a Star Trek No, it was Outer Limits or a Twilight Zone, in which this alien box was generating huge amounts of power. Does anybody remember that? And they cracked it open to see what was on the inside, and there wasn't anything.
It was Thor.
It was empty.
Isn't it Thor?
I think it was not Outer Limits.
I think it was a Twilight Zone.
I think so. And Kelly, I love how you went right to Thor.
That was the first thing I thought of. A giant box that generates a bunch of energy.
Should have left it on the bottom of the ocean.
I know. Okay, so I did find the post from iFixit. It says, there is a distinct lack of cables connecting the power supply to the logic board. We suspect that the power is transmitted through the new heat sink screw posts.
Well, there's one way to find out. Hey, guys, watch this.
Hold my beer and watch this. Yeah, lick one and see what happens. Anyway, so when I saw that, that was just a really, to me, it's interesting that it is possible that that's the thing that's happening. So I was very impressed with that. So far, I haven't seen a lot on the six S's, except that Rene Ritchie over at iMore has been posting stuff. I think he got his phone yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he has posted a number of pictures from his phone. He's in New York City. And he's been posting what looked to be the Harry Potter pictures. Because I don't remember what Apple's trying to call them, but they're Harry Potter pictures. And that they work on Instagram. So if that's the case, I'm going to have a really fascinating Instagram feed later today.
I can't wait.
Hey, Kelly, is there a notable way to tell a 6S from a 6? I heard something about the markings on the back going away, all those approval markings or something.
Yes. And I know I'm not Kelly, but I'm answering anyhow.
I was going to say, I haven't heard, Jeff. So there you go.
Yes. So what Apple did was they took all those regulatory logos and symbols.
Bits of stuff on the back.
That we've seen on the back of our iPhones for since the beginning, except for one model of Verizon iPhone a few years ago.
Right.
And the fact that I can remember something like that is another example of why I don't remember my own address. But they took all those markings off the back of the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. You can still find them, however. You just have to go into settings, and they're all listed in there. So they are graphically represented, just not etched onto the device anymore.
So if you go into the Apple Store and you have a handful of sixes, or you're with spouse or kids or something, and you're juggling all these different phones and you're trying to figure out what's what, that's how to tell the difference.
Yes.
Yeah. It also looks like the on the back, according again to iFixit, they have a teardown of what I think is the 6 Plus. It says iPhone S on the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It says iPhone 6S on the back, too.
Okay, well, this one just says S.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Just the S in the box?
Yep.
All right. Well, that's kind of interesting.
So, there you go. Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see. I'm sure by now my Instagram feed is full of people who are taking pictures of the whole process, so there's probably some there. Yeah. So, I already said, actually, because I haven't had a lot of time to spend investigating the 3D touch stuff myself, I am most excited about the new camera because I love getting a new camera, and because Harry Potter pictures, the photo that, you know, it shoots for like a second on each side, so you get like a little animated image instead of just a still photo.
Oh, that's called the Harry Potter photo because it's a takeoff on the newspaper live images.
Yeah, all the photos in Harry Potter move. They're all like alive. Like the picture of Harry Potter's parents in front of the fountain.
Have
they're like sort of dancing around the
Harry
fountain.
Potter movies, John?
Well, I've seen a few of them.
You're dead to me. Get out.
Okay, so yes, that's why. Because photos in the magic world move. They are sort of alive. Yes. So like they have pictures on wanted posters, and it's the person on the poster is screaming.
Right, and pictures in the newspapers. I saw. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's that, and so it to me it was one of those really funny moments online when they announced this and showed it off, and all of a sudden everything in my Twitter feed said OMG Harry Potter pictures.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Harry Potter photos are real, and it was funny because that was exactly the same thing I was thinking, and all of a sudden all the rest of the internet came to exactly the same conclusion, which doesn't happen to me very often, so it was very gratifying to see that I wasn't the only one who made it there. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
So am I. Which is interesting because with the iPhone 6, I was most excited about the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And while it was still a, what was it, 10 megapixel camera,
mm-hmm.
it had a much better sensor with it. So the photos that I was taking on my iPhone 6 were markedly better than my iPhone 5S.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get the 12 megapixel camera with improved sensors again. And, mm-hmm. And then a 5 megapixel FaceTime camera as opposed to 1.2 megapixel.
I know, I can't wait.
I am really looking forward to the camera again. That's what gets me every time with Apple. I mean, Touch ID, that was a great thing to have.
Yeah. And that's sort of my thing is like the banner feature for Kelly is the camera, and then it's going to be neat to have this other thing. So like for me, I can't wait to run around this weekend and buy stuff with my phone.
Because I
haven't been able to do that for a year.
I just thought of something. Can you access the individual frames of those Harry Potter photos?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd be great because it'll catch the situation where somebody blinks just the moment where you take the photo.
That's
and you
half
can go
the
in
reason
there and
they did it.
Grab it and get the unblinked version.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All
right, perfect. John, what feature are you most excited about with the new iPhone?
I'm most excited about 3D Touch. I think that's going to be a very helpful thing because traditionally the phone has been kind of awkward in navigation, and you switch to another app and you can't drill down and get back where you were. And now iOS 9 has back buttons, and you've got what is it? Drill into, is that the phrase? To
peek,
yeah, and then get back where you were. I think that's it's going to change the way we use our phones.
I think that that's going to be, honestly, that was part of why I didn't feel quite so uncertain about getting a new phone in the new size. Because as it is already, I hold my phone a majority of the time in my left hand, a vast majority of the time in my left hand. And the top right hand corner of the phone is a real reach with my thumb. I have to sort of wiggle the phone around if I want to do that. And I was concerned about the 6, the size of the 6, and I didn't feel bad I didn't get one at the time because I couldn't figure out how I was going to manage that in one hand. And so the nice thing about the 1-2 punch of 3D Touch and iOS 9 and how much easier it is to switch between apps and all that kind of stuff means that I can probably hold my phone slightly differently and be able to access a whole lot of it, even though I'm only holding it in one hand. So that's one of the things that actually made me feel better about swapping the size of my 5S for something a little bigger.
It definitely takes some getting used to.
Oh, I'm sure.
And this I found to be very interesting. When I wrote my review for the iPhone 6,
mm-hmm.
I talked about how surprised I was at how it was relatively easy for me to use the entire screen one-handed. And for me, it's really important that my phone be a one-handed device.
Mm-hmm.
As the year has progressed, I have become increasingly disappointed with that. And finally, I realized I can't use much of my iPhone one-handed. And I finally just had to accept that's how it is and that's how it's going to be. So I'm prepared with the iPhone 6S, but I have come to accept that about a third of my screen is out of my touch if I want to use my phone one-handed.
That probably means me too.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll mean you too. Now, what I did, though, was I adapted. And so the applications that I need to use all the time are at the bottom of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I can hit all of those with just my thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And but then once I get into an app, then a lot of the times I am going to end up having to go to two-handed mode.
Yeah. So I just want to point out, because this is something that every once in a while I mention that sort of makes people go, wow, wait, what? Really? I have found that...
Oh, wait. Wow, really?
I have found that with my phone in my left hand, the stuff that I like to use is in the lower left-hand corner of my phone. Mm-hmm. Like the bottom two rows, like that, those four icons, not the dock, but like the four icons in the lower left corner, those are the ones that I use the most because those are the easiest to hit with my thumb. Now, what I did was totally overthought this. And when I'm in the car, I use my phone with my right hand because I put it on this little car thing that I have in the cup holder in the center console of my car. So when I have to use my phone in the car, like I hit the home button and I dictate a message, for example. I'm not like playing Angry Birds at stoplights or anything. When I hold down the button, or if I need to hit the maps, or I need to hit the audio player that I have for my car, the app for that, those are all on the right hand side, because if my phone is sitting there, I will pick it up and I know exactly when I'm holding my phone where my thumb hits it, and that's where my audio player is for how I play music in my car.
I'm not seeing how this is overthinking.
Well, a lot of people don't put anywhere near that level of thought into where their apps go.
Those people are underthinking.
Okay.
Or they're two-handed users like me.
So for me, like both sides of my phone are functional, and that's how I made them functional. Hold on.
Is that the hold on of your iPhone is being delivered?
No, it's the hold on of a white truck pulled up to my house and it turned out to be recycling and not FedEx.
Oh, that's too bad.
So for those who don't know, I have a security camera in front of my house that is pointed at the front walk, and I'm staring at the feed from it right now on my iPhone while we're recording, so I don't miss my phone.
And rightly so. Hey, yes. We should let people know what they can do to make sure that this transition goes smoothly from their current iPhone to their new iPhone.
Back that thing up.
Back up. Make sure you have a backup. And make sure it's an encrypted backup. That's really important. Because
super important.
Because the encrypted backup is going to include all the passwords that you have for your email accounts and all those passwords that you always have to re-enter every time you get a new phone. Plus, it also backs up your HealthKit and HomeKit data. So you're not going to have to reset up all of your HomeKit devices, and you're not going to lose all of that HealthKit data you've been tracking. Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, something else is that I found out because I was testing mobile device management. I was testing a software suite called Bushel, which lets you manage a smaller number of phones. You don't have to use like an enterprise management tool. You can use this thing called Bushel, which is from the folks that make Casper. And because I'm using that, there's a policy that requires that I have a passcode on both my devices. So at one point, my backups magically became encrypted. And it turns out that the password, because I'm like, I never set a password on my backups. How do I get into my backups? And everything I'm reading about my backups says, if you don't have the password, you don't get to those backups anymore. So if you discover this, the first thing to try is the passcode on your device. If it turns out that your stuff got, that your backups magically got encrypted and you don't know what it is, start with your passcode.
Oh, that's smart.
So there you go.
Yeah. And if you're not using iCloud to backup, and just to reiterate, iCloud backups are automatically encrypted. If you're using iTunes instead, you need to make sure that in iTunes, where you have the backup options under the summary section, that you check encrypted backup.
Yes.
And then that way you'll have the same benefits that you get from backing up to iCloud, but just locally. So all those passwords are going to be saved and restored. All of your HealthKit and HomeKit data will be saved and restored as well.
So here's another thing.
Apple Watch, Jeff wrote an article today about how to unpair your watch and make sure it gets backed up.
Yes. So your watch data is getting backed up, but to ensure that the process goes smoothly from your current iPhone to your new iPhone with your Apple Watch, unpair your watch which then forces a backup of all your watch data, do a full backup of your phone, and then when you set up your new phone and pair your Apple Watch, everything goes back just as it should. Which seems kind of a lame way to have to do this.
I'm sure it'll get better. Just like the watchOS 2 upgrade, I'm sure it'll get better.
Yeah.
Something else I want to point out is that there is nothing wrong with having another backup. So if you've ever listened to, I think Adam Christensen had me on Mattcast and we talked about backups, and I've talked about it a bunch of times, a bunch of other places, and I'm sure I've talked about it with Jeff, and we've probably done it here. What I like to do is make sure that I have an iCloud backup, particularly if I'm going to take my phone into the store. So if you know you're going to come home with a new one, it might be handy to have an iCloud backup. And the reason
because
I'm bringing this up...
Because you can switch back and forth.
Yes, you can. Yes. The reason I'm bringing this up is because you can do two. What I usually do, like particularly if I have an appointment and it's for something that I think is going to cause me to come home with a different phone than I left the house with, the first thing I do is plug it into iTunes and get a full backup there. And then I make sure that I've got a recent iCloud backup, at least a semi-recent iCloud backup. And then when I get my new phone, I can turn on the iCloud Restore from iCloud, and it will at least start getting stuff on my phone, which means if somebody calls me or I get a text message, at least there's a name attached to it. And I don't just get stuff from random phone numbers. And also, the price has dropped on iCloud storage. So you can get 50 gigabytes of storage for 99 cents a month. You get 200 gigabytes of storage for $2.99 a month. So if you want to make absolutely sure that you've got everything in two places and that one of those places is not also your house, for $3 a month, you can have whatever capacity of iPhone or iPad you have completely covered by having this separate backup procedure. You can switch in back and forth between them at will, as John was saying, and it makes it so much easier if you know, like, for example, if you're somebody that has one of the pickup appointments, you may want to do an iCloud backup. You may want to just buy more storage and then go through the iCloud backup. You can do that through the iCloud preferences, either on your Mac or on your device. If you go to iCloud and choose, I think it's manage, you get the option to buy more storage that way. And it's an easy thing to do.
One comment, Kelly.
I would totally recommend it now that it's cheaper. Yes.
Just have one comment. Oh, wait. Wow. Really?
Awesome. Okay. And on that note, because John, you're so enthused, we need to wrap up because we're over time. So Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course.
And John, thank you for being here too.
You're welcome.
And listeners, I'm curious, what is your favorite iPhone 6S or 6S Plus feature? Let me know. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be TMO Daily. You can let me know in the show notes for today's episode, or you can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. And hey, thank you everyone for being here today. We'll see you all again on Monday.